Years ago, when I worked part-time for the Cape Cod Museum of Natural History in Brewster, I would occasionally take groups of schoolchildren out to the Stony Brook Herring Run for a brief lesson on the natural history of alewives. I gave these talks on the banks of the picturesque, tree-shaded fish ladder, surrounded by ancient stone walls just below the old gristmill. I talked about the amazing journey these fish make every year to spawn in the ponds above the Herring Run, the obstacles they face, both natural and man-made, the historical importance of these fish to the early settlers of the town for food and fertilizer, and so on. But to the children, all this was science and history, distantly real at best. Explanations are not important yet at their age. The great wonder of these migrating fish shining in their eyes lay not in our adult descriptions and explanations about spawning urges, food chains, or homing instincts, but in the sheer throngs and exuberance of the fish themselves. Knowing this, I would at some point reach down into the dark, moiling mass of fish in one of the pools, net one of them out of the water, and hold it high in my rubber-gloved hands for all to see, a bright, shining muscle of fish, full of rainbow colors. Only then, with the live fish in my hand, did I put on a bit of the magic, drawing all eyes to me. The children, standing on the wooden bridge above me, shouted down, "Let me feel it. If you squeeze it and the bloody stuff comes out, it's a girl. Put it back, you're hurting it. Catch a boy now. Can we catch some?" After about 30 seconds, I threw the fish back. It turned slowly over, weaved around a bit, and then rejoined the flow once more. Then came the part I didn't like. I had to tell the children that they should never handle the fish with bare hands unless they were taking them home. Handling, I instructed them, can easily injure or traumatize the fish. Such environmental lessons were important to stress, I knew, but I did not relish my role as a stifler, even in the name of conservation. My words went against the children's deepest impulses. What they wanted, staring down and shouting at me, was not to learn about the fish, but to join them. At other unsupervised times, I've watched them standing in the pools with the alewives, half accidentally falling in, touching, handling, tossing, and mingling with them, a kind of seasonal baptism and orgy of sheer sensual contact that had occurred each spring here for countless generations. Such contact, of course, now goes against all contemporary environmental ethics. In fact, for the last several years, no taking of alewives have been allowed in our herring runs for any reason. And yet, the alternative, sanitary observation, does not strike me as much of an improvement. I know that such prohibitions on physical interaction are now necessary to preserve these and other wild species, but there strikes me as something fundamentally wrong in teaching children that the natural world is only something to be visited, studied, appreciated, and preserved, like an historic relic, rather than wantonly devoured as it should be at their age. Life demands not merely observation, participation. What we need is not kid gloves in approved wrappings, but kids' eyes, sharp new eyes to pierce another layer of the mystery. At any rate, we are born wet and are in too far to stay dry.